I can't unfeel your pain. I can't undo what's done. I can't send back the rain. But if I could.
All right, Yukinyangados Masterclass. We are going to get stuck in straight away. Welcome back to day two. Hope you guys are good. Anyone have a Fritz Wiener for lunch? Anyone have anything good? Smoothie bowl? It's good times. Hey, this session, what we're going to do is I'm going to invite up Will and Hannah DeLacy, who are our youth pastors over in Melbourne, and also TC Jakes, our youth pastor here at the South Campus. And we're going to do something called I Wish I Knew. And so this session is going to be really straight up. This is going to be us literally talking through stuff that over these guys, 10 years, about 6-7 years, and about 6-7 years of youth and young adult ministry, things that we are learning, but things as well that we wish we knew a few years ago. And so off the back of it, if we get time, we're going to open up for Q&A for literally anything you want to ask us about how we do program, how we do ministry, how we do leadership, how our staffing structure is set up, anything you want. We'll be open in the last kind of like 15 minutes for Q&A. But apart from that, welcome up Will, TC, and Hannah. Very, very cool. So, like I said, literally how we're going to do this is we're going to hand it off and we're just going to start going with I Wish I Knew. And our prayer for this session is, hopefully a whole lot of you are like 100% know where you're at, either have thought the same or do think the same. And so start off by giving a little context, though. Maybe TC and Hannah, because you guys weren't up here yesterday, you know, let us know a little bit about yourselves, how long you've been doing ministry, how did you get into it, and what are you doing now?
Awesome. I'm TC, as Ollie has let you guys know, and I have been doing ministry now for, since 2008. 2009, I think, was when I did Bible college, and I just turned up, you know, because I was like, okay, cool, like, God, I'm really going 100% with this thing, and so I started doing Bible college, and I just didn't leave, and so that's how I got here, and it was literally after Bible college, I was kind of working a part-time job and still volunteering ridiculous amount of hours and stuff, and then, you know, I just was in a random car ride with my upline, and they were like, would you want to jump on staff, and I was like, don't really need to think about it, you know. People always say, yeah, I want you to go pray about it. But there's just some stuff is like, nah, it's just like, I know. It's like, that's what I want to do with my life. And so that's why I'm still here. And yeah, pretty cool.
Well, my name is Hannah. Will and I are married. And we have a gorgeous little boy over there. His name's Kaiser. He's 6 months old. He's so cute. I'm so biased, but he's so cute. But yeah, I have been a part of ministry since 2008, I guess. We went to college together, all four of us actually. Yeah, went to college together, which is a good time.
Life and Leadership College promo right there.
Yes, influencer. I guess started on the youth worship team as a 13-year-old and just wanted to serve God, and started youth leading when I was 17, got out of school, did college, and then, yeah, I've just been serving God ever since in youth ministry, which is cool. We live in Melbourne. I'm part of Life Melbourne over there, and we're the youth pastors over there. And yeah, it's been a good journey. We've been doing that for almost 3.5 years, and we're volunteers. So we've been working full time, but volunteering in youth ministry. So that's a bit of our journey, but it's fun. We love it.
Yeah, awesome. I forgot that we were actually all four in together. These guys were 6 months ahead of me and T. No, a year ahead.
And let's just say, TC, you met your wife at Bible college. I met my wife at Bible college. We met each other. There's many other relationships.
I met my wife serving at a conference. That's right. Driving at sister's conference. Picked her up from the airport.
Meant to be doing his job and just That's talking right. to
Actually,
the PA in the back.
Legit. So her boss was sitting in the back with another pastor. We drove back to the hotel on the first night. And I was like, so Nikki, my wife, sat in the front with me. And they don't know Auckland. They're from Sydney. Who cares? So I missed my off-ramp on purpose. Took us an extra 25 minutes to get back to the hotel. Doubled the journey. Did that every day of conference. No one ever wondered, like, why does it take us longer to get home and no traffic at 10 p.m. than it takes us to get to conference and peak hour?
That's because I thought, oh, always driving. That's why.
It's the dishwasher all over again. All right. Sweet. T, let's start with you, man. Like, let's crack straight into it. What did you wish you knew?
That's a great question. B-Rad, who's now looking after all the conferences, was looking after our, what was he doing? Like digital stuff and web stuff.
Yeah.
That's a great description. Anyway, he got a whole bunch of us start writing like blogs and stuff, and I was just like, oh, what do I write about? So I actually ended up writing a blog about stuff that I feel like I've learned over the 5 years of full-time ministry that I've been doing. And I kind of shared on like 4 points, and one of them for me, I think that still stays true, is actually not stressing too much on the losses or like not spending too much time focused on them. And I guess some of our journey as a youth ministry for us here at Life is that it would probably be 2016. We were at a, probably say like a really good season in youth ministry, you know, getting upwards of 400 or 500 young people on a Friday night. I specifically look after the South Campus. And so all around here, we've got an area, Manurewa, just down here. We've got this school called Alfriston College. And you just had like revival literally happening in the school and buses of young people. But as you can understand, where something's growing that fast, there is opportunity for your culture to get tested and challenged. And so we started getting a whole bunch of these other young people who I'd say were pretty, they were rough. And so like that, they started to bring their culture to youth. And so we started to have a lot of fights in and at youth and stuff. And it became a little bit of a unsafe environment. So obviously we had to change this because we really want a safe environment for our young people. So what we did is, because of health and safety and all that stuff, we brought in what we call bus permission forms. So that's part of what we do now. So to ensure that actually everyone that was coming along to our youth actually had a parent sign a form saying that they allow them to catch our transport. A bit more accountability, just so we didn't have a whole bunch of randoms coming. What that did, especially for, I guess, me and my like the team that we lead, is that a lot of the kids that we have actually don't have parents. Just the reality of it. Or their parents don't really care what they do on a Friday night. So you put now this roadblock in front of them that they have to fill out a form to come to youth. It's not going to happen. So what are they going to do? They're not going to turn up. And so we went from seeing 200 to maybe 250 young people come specifically from South to 40. So I don't know about you, but you can tell yourself that you're like, yeah, God is good. But if you're having to go into meetings the next week and tell your upline that you've just had a decrease of over 160 young people, that's so hard. And so I had to fight the battle not only of, well, God, what do we do now that, you know, we've lost this many young people? Am I a bad youth pastor? Should I have seen this ahead of time and made these changes earlier? What could I have done better? Did I not lead well? All these questions are happening on the inside of me. And I think now that we're in this place where we've made some massive shifts, we've even go to we've gone into like a more campus focus within our church in terms of like actually looking after our specific campuses with campus pastors over every campus. Now we're in a place where we have more young people serving than we ever had. Our core, if you look at it, is so strong. 2 years ago, if you told me that was going to be, I would have been, shut up. I don't care. I just want the 160. But I felt like I spent too much time on the floor crying about all those young people that I lost, and I didn't see that God was going to use the 40 that I still had to do something that I believe post like 2020, which we have amazing vision for, is going to literally bring a strength to this area of South Auckland that we've never seen before. In the moment, oh my gosh, it was hard. But now as we're journeying through the process, I can see that there are seasons where it will look like there is something that has been stripped back, but actually God is looking to expand us and take us into territory. Real quick. There's a thought in, sorry, that's just my brain's going there. I think it's John 15 talking about the vine. Just my Bible, I kind of, John 14, John 15, something like that. But there's this idea of God saying that, you know, obviously, you know, Jesus is the vine, you know, and we are the branches. And talks about the branch that does not bear fruit, what does he do? He cuts it off. But the branch that does bear fruit, what happens to that? It gets pruned so that it can be more fruitful. And I had to learn this because sometimes the feeling of being pruned is the same as the feeling of being cut off. But they're very different. So what are you arguing at God about where he's pruning you, but you feel like he's cutting you? Because they all feel the same, but the pruning is so that you can be even more fruitful. So now I hope that, you know, when I see defeat or when I see restriction, I'm actually like, okay, cool, God. I'm actually going to buy into the plan that you have for me and actually see you do what you need to do. So, yeah.
Sick. Hannah, Will, do you guys want to jump in?
That's so good. Yeah, I mean, just coming off the back of that, like, one of my things was I wish I knew how to overcome discouragement and overcome disappointment, because at the end of the day, youth ministry, young adult ministry is going to be full of disappointments. And I think it's good for us to know as leaders how to overcome that, but also how to teach our leaders how to overcome that, because, you know, I have... amazing. We have amazing leaders on our team. They're amazing. Some of them are here today, and props to them. But, you know, we have to actually, I guess, identify and encourage them to overcome disappointment. You know, like when you have a young person who you constantly are saying the same thing over and over and over, and you're giving them this amazing advice, and you're like, God is telling me to encourage you in this, but yet they're like, yeah, awesome, totally, I love Jesus, and then they go and just do the same thing that they've been doing for the last, like, however many months. And, you know, you get discouraged by that as a youth leader, because you're like, man, like, I just wish that you would just understand what I'm saying to you, understand the God call on your life, and actually walk in your potential and move forward. And there's discouragement that comes. And so, you know, it's just teaching, I guess, teaching your leaders how to actually overcome that. Walking alongside them in that is probably the one of the main things that I've learned as a youth pastor, to walk alongside your youth leaders in that discouragement, so they're not carrying it by themselves. You know, you're talking, you're chatting about it. You're actually, you know, coming up with solutions on how to approach those young people and all that kind of stuff. But you're walking alongside youth leaders to actually overcome that. And that's something that I have learned massively, because, like, over the last, I guess, 4 years, we have had people come, we've had people go, we've had great numbers, not so great numbers, we've had God moments, we've had, you know, services that have just flopped or games that have just flopped, and stuff happens in youth ministry. We're just like, okay, that wasn't great. And, you know, like, you kind of just, you want to make sure that you overcome those things. And yeah, with numbers, I guess for us, like, we have changed up a lot of what we do in terms of, you know, like, we're a part of Life, we're a part of what we do, we're part of Epic Youth, we're a part of bringing, you know, this culture and what we do on a Friday night from New Zealand and kind of implementing it into Melbourne, but realizing that our young people aren't the same as the young people here, and the culture that we're a part of in Melbourne isn't necessarily the same. So we can look at what New Zealand's doing and go, oh, that's so awesome what they're doing, like, I wish that would work for us, and get disappointed when it doesn't. But we actually need to, I guess, identify for us, we've identified the plan that works for us and the things that we implement and we take from here, New Zealand, and implement into the youth ministry that we're running. And we've done, you know, we've had a season where we've been doing groups, and we literally every Friday night would just do groups, and they'd hang out, guys and girls, and they do a Bible study. It's real discipleship. We've had seasons where we've done events, and we've done what we call Super Fridays, and we encourage our young people to bring people along. We've done dinner parties where we just put on dinner for everyone, and we literally just hang out, play a quiz, do some group time at the end. But we just have gone through seasons where we've tried to, I guess, work out what works for us. And I guess another one of the things that I wanted to share is, you know, not one size fits all. That actually, you know, I guess for us, we have, like, done so many things to try and get people there, to try and, you know, to try and encourage people to come, to have those God moments. And, you know, not one thing works for every youth ministry. So we just have found that, you know, for us now, we're in a season where we have a service every Friday night. So we have more of a campus style, like TC was saying. So we have praise and worship, acoustic praise and worship. And then once a month, or once every 2 months at this moment, we are doing Super Fridays, which is another evangelistic event for young people to bring their friends. But we've just found that, you know, it's in seasons, it's not one size, it's not one way, and we just found what, I guess, fits for us in the season that we're in and the culture that we're a part of, if that makes sense.
Awesome. She's cool, eh? Oh, it's really good. And I think what Hannah was saying as well is that don't walk away from this week at Life Conference thinking, oh, I wish our church was like that, or I wish the lights that we had were that amazing. Man, I wish our lights were that good. You know, like, don't walk away with those things. And it's what T's saying as well. Don't walk away with the things that you're, like, disappointed at. What are the things that you're taking home? What are the things you're taking back to your youth ministry? And what are the things that are going to work for you in your environment? So it's cool. My one was, I wish I knew that resource doesn't have to be a limitation. What do I mean by that? I mean that I've gone on a journey, and we have as well, that we haven't had resource to run our youth ministry as much as we did when we were here in Auckland. And we've, Hannah said before, we've been volunteering as youth pastors for the last 3 years. Is there any other volunteers here? Yeah, volunteers. Amazing. Can we just give a shout out to all these guys that are volunteering? Honestly, the real heroes. Like, I paid in church ministry. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. You guys are doing great as well. But to work a full-time job, to look after a family, to pay the bills, to then go home after work, to ring young people, to ring young adults, to follow up leaders, to do all that stuff is no easy feat, right? And so I suppose what I'm getting at here is that I've learned that resource, and whether that be a paid job, whether that be a budget for a Friday night, whether that be lights, whether that be a full band, resource doesn't have to be a limitation to my youth ministry actually showing the love of God to young people. So the love of God can show to young people in many different ways, but the challenge I want to put out and what I've learned is that you have to have this thing inside of you called the hustle. And as a youth leader, a youth pastor, a young adult leader, a young adult pastor, I believe every single one of us has to have the ability to hustle. Every single one of us has to do what we've done. And at one point I was working almost three jobs in Melbourne. We were volunteering all day on Sundays. We were in the office as much as we could. We were still running youth ministry. We had leaders. There's a hustle that has to come. And I don't ever want to hear anyone tell me that they don't have enough time to run their youth ministry when they get paid to do it. I'm sorry, but I've been through not having time to do it, and there's still a way to do it. And that might seem harsh, but the reality is if you're getting paid to do your job, your church is paying their tithe so that you can run your youth ministry, make the most of that time. Don't do what I did when I was a young leader and just wasted away talking to young people on Facebook, although that was awesome. Be strategic about your time. Be intentional. Learn how to manage your time well. Man, I'm now on staff at church, running all our operations, our facilities, health and safety, child safety, IT, procedures and policies, plus, alongside Hannah, doing youth ministry. Now, I have to be good at managing my time, but that's something I've had to be intentional about in order to do that. So I've learned over a long period of time to be very intentional about moments where I take out to run youth ministry and to do it, but be intentional about it. Don't let resource be a limitation. The other thing is that, man, I hustle all the time when it comes to, like Hannah was saying, about our worship team. We don't have enough worship team to run band every Friday night. So I'd go down, I'd be like just coming up with ideas. Micah over here is our sound guy in Melbourne. He'll tell you that both me and him hustle, but I hustle more. And I go buy cables. Like I'm like, oh, $2 shop cables. Let's get that. I need that cable. Like I need to do this. I need this to make the in-ears work for our worship team. And like it's just going out of your way to learn stuff, like Pastor Chris was saying this morning, to become valuable, to learn stuff. And now we're at the point where we've hustled enough. We have two people on stage with an iPhone that has an app called Multitracks, and we push play on Multitracks, and the whole band all of a sudden starts playing. There's drums, there's BVs, there's electric guitars, there's all this stuff. It's awesome. But now we have praise and worship every Friday night because we found a way to make it work with what we've got. You know? And so I ask you the question, what is it in your youth ministry that you need to apply the hustle to? What is it in your life that you need to apply the hustle to in order to get to where you need to be to have young people or young adults encounter God?
That's awesome. In Auckland here, we got a guy, I don't know if they're in this session or in Kingdom, but Scott and Leela, who are Equippers pastors here. And every time I do a coffee with them, I come back and we normally sit around. Oh, you are here. What's up, bro? Talk to them afterwards as well. They're awesome. But like literally, they're starting hubs all over Auckland. And when they start a hub, they go to like get their hub leaders together and like, awesome, you guys are going to start a hub, like effectively a mini youth group. Yeah, awesome. You get nothing. Like literally, like these leaders start, a lot of them start with whatever they can hustle, whatever they can find. And it's incredible when a leader grab holds of that, hearing when a leader grab hold of it, what they're able to do, because it's not about what's easy, it's about what they're sold out for. And yeah, exactly what Will's saying, so good. Actually leads on to my next one. My biggest one I've struggled with is I wish I knew I didn't have to do it all and I didn't have to know it all.
I had the same one, man.
Oh, real?
Yeah, did you guys?
I looked at your notes. Seriously, because like this comes down to the fact that in churches we're around like some pretty capable people, hey, and perception is reality. but it's not actually reality. Like, it's our reality, but it's not necessarily the person we think we're looking at's reality. And so we look at people, and I used to do it all the time with Craig Clark, who was my upline, who I just absolutely love. And Craig can hustle like no one else. But I love him. And I would look at him and be like, man, they do everything. So when I stepped into the role, I thought I had to have my eyes on everything. I thought I had to be the guy that was the most organized. I thought I had to be the guy driving creative. I thought I had to be the guy involved in everything because I was so brought into it. And what I learned is that we were so capped because I just don't have the ability. Like, I'm just not that good. And one thing we've had to do, and I feel like we really nailed it this year with our young adult retreat, is I've come to realize that I'm not creative. And there's some of you out there, like your pastors, and you're doing the sign-off for items, and you don't know a thing. But you feel like you have to be involved or coming up with the ideas. Like, some of us sit in this room and, like, we're trying to think of great, like, programming ideas to help with connection or great comps, right? I suck at comps. Couldn't give a rip about them. It's why I don't do youth ministry, right? Like, so, like,
what? Just the coffee machine, right?
Just that's the coffee machine is literally all I care about. But, like, we feel this pressure to, like, put it on. So instead of asking people on the journey, we're like, no, 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 we'll have it sorted. No, 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 we'll have it sorted. And we still do this. And then it comes to game day and we don't have it sorted. Or it's not as good as it could be. This year for our young adult retreat, I literally, like, I saw some plans for what it was going to look like. But I said to our production guy and I said to our volunteer creative, I was like, what do you guys need? And they're like, oh, this is the budget. I was like, we can't have that much, but you can have this much. And then literally they'd come and be like, oh, do you want to see? I'm like, yeah, I want to see. But, like, and I'd sometimes question things. Is this cool? And they'd be like, yeah, it is. And I'm like, I don't think it's cool. And they'd be like, no, it is. And I'd be like, well, they know more than me. Like, this is what they're good at. I don't. Like, I wear the same clothing every day. It's either a black and white t-shirt and blue and black jeans, and I wear the same white. Like, I'm not out there. And so one thing I'm learning and wish I had known earlier is that I don't have to do it all. I need to fit in my God space. I know what I'm good at. I'm good at getting people on team. So that whole local area out there, the whole food trucks and all that, technically I'm in charge of that this week. There's a girl, Kezia, and another couple of team who are literally doing it all because her gifting is organization and her gifting is detail and her gifting. It's not what I'm good at, but I can get Kezia on team and I can empower her. And so the thing I wish I knew is that I don't have to be God who knows everything when it comes to young adult ministry. I know what I'm good at. I'm good at getting people in the room who can contribute and release their gifts, and it's awesome.
Because I guess, like, I think I love that, Ollie, what you're saying, because the reality is we all want to be great at what we do. That's just the truth of it, you know? Like, we want to be successful. Like, I'm not here just to kind of, like, you know, just go through the motions. Like, I actually want to see fruit, like, you know, and with that. But I think there's a very thin line between the drive to see fruit and then the drive to be known.
Wow. So true, man.
And then the drive to be the guy who has the successful youth ministry so then people can come and ask me questions about how we did it so that we can be like, yo, yeah, we did it. You know what I mean? And I've had to, like, toe that line real carefully. It's like, well, what's driving this? And then when it comes to empowering people, there's something that would stop us from doing that is the fact that, well, if I empower somebody else to do it, then I didn't do it. And so then I don't get to get the... You know, like, but actually, great leaders know that that's actually going to release their ministries to a greater level. And so one of the greatest things for me that's also shifted is actually that whole thing that Chris Hodges was talking about this morning, investing in lasting relationships. Yeah. To be honest, I think as a young, I was so concerned in being the it guy that I was driving myself to the ground and be like, see me, see me. I always laugh because in Bible college, part of what we had to do was, like, you know, after church, you know, grab the vacuum cleaner, you know, and make sure the church is looking nice for the night service. And I remember one day vacuuming and going towards my pastor just so that he could see me doing the vacuum. Honestly, I'm just being real here. Do you know what I mean? It's like everyone else had left, and I just wanted him to know that I finished at 12, but it was 12:10, and I was still there, vacuuming faithfully. Right where you're having the conversation, I'm right there. And you know what? And it's just like, I might not be that Bible college student, but I'll probably be honest that there are areas, if I'm not careful, within my leadership that start to sneak in, all this Instagram post, you know? Like, I just want them to know that we had a good time at youth tonight. And look at all the young people that are in the room. Oh, yeah, we're pumping. Is that to actually show people that God's doing something great? Or is that to be like, yo, TC, you're the man? And so the journey that I've had to go is to kind of like, okay, cool. Am I opening my home to the team that's around me? And it's been a massive shift for me because I think for the first part, I probably spent too much time just getting people to do stuff because of the goal in terms of where we'd get. And I forgot about taking people on the journey. The best moments I've had in the past 18 months has been sitting in my lounge room, watching a game with a group of guys and some girls, and just having a good time. And I think the other night, we finished watching the game. I think it was like the doubleheader with the Warriors and all these other teams. And it was rugby league. Some of them didn't even like rugby league, but they came along for the hangs anyway. Afterwards, one of my leaders goes, hey, what word would you describe me as? Like, what word comes to mind when you think about me? And all of a sudden, we started prophesying over each other. Hey, I see you as courageous. We didn't plan it. It wasn't kind of like, hey, come to our house and we're going to prophesy over each other. No, all we said is, hey, come, let's hang out. Let's invest in relationship. And then the fruit of it was, we're hanging out. Hey, there's a moment here. And so then I quickly go, well, God's about to do something. I'm not going to shut this down, but let's see what it goes. And then we went on to the next person, and we had an amazing time. People got their phones out. They're like writing stuff down, but it all came because we was like, okay, cool. We're going to shift from this being, yo, I need you to be at youth at 6 p.m. so that we can make this thing happen, to being like, man, come around. Let's have a drink. Let's have a meal together. And so something that I'm learning on the journey as well.
And sometimes it's slightly different to that, but sometimes when we're trying to get team on board, we think that they'll stay because it's easy. So we don't ask people things. We don't ask them to carry a load because we're like, oh, they'll stay if it's easy. We don't want to ask a last minute request, even though it's genuine and it's not because of disorganization. It's genuinely a last minute thing. We don't want to ask because we're like, they'll stay on board if it's easy. People don't stay because it's easy. People stay because of their purpose. They stay because they're making a difference. They stay because, you know, they're living out the call of God in their life. And I genuinely believe that, and especially, I mean, life, I'll speak from a life context, and we'll hopefully be real vulnerable up here. Like, our thing is excellence, and sometimes we, like, meaning on the grassroots level, like us, take that too far to the point where, we don't get people involved early enough and we don't let them carry out their call. Yeah. And, man, I reckon if you want team to stick around for the long haul, it's all right for them to have a few rough days. Like my best team, my core team, my most loyal team are also the ones that around our retreats. They're the ones that are stressed. They're the ones that are under the pump because they carry it, yeah. Right? If they're not stressed and under the pump, like it's because they're not carrying it. Yeah. They're still loving it, still being valued. They're not being worked to the bone, I hope, but sometimes. But the point is, like, people would rather be doing something that costs them, that they see than a reward in, than something that's easy but they get nothing out of. So if you've got team that are capable, like, put the ask on and make sure you're not doing it all on your own.
Yeah, so good. What I wish I knew was to be vulnerable with your pastors. I think for us, like, we have so often tried to do it on our own. And we have amazing pastors in Melbourne, Pastor Craig and Nadia, and they're youth ministry legends. And we can look at them and go, oh man, they've got, you know, the whole youth ministry thing down. They ran a youth conference. And we're kind of like, well, we'll just kind of try and walk in the, you know, try and walk in the light of them and do everything that we can to be like them. But at the same time for us, like, we want to be really vulnerable with them as to where we're at personally, one, but two, in ministry as well. We meet with them once a month and we do like ministry feedback and stuff like that. And it's a chance for them to really say, hey, like, this is what we see in you. And this is what we want to grow in you. And they give us tips and all that kind of stuff. But it also is a chance for us to say, hey, you're not here on Friday nights. You're not at youth. And I don't know many pastors that would be, but it's an opportunity for us to go, this is what's going on in our youth ministry. This is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with young people. Like, can you help us out? Can you, you know, teach us your ways of pastoring people? Teach us the ways of you know, because they run a service obviously on a Sunday. How do you juggle family life? How do you juggle kids? Like, we've got a kid now. So how do you juggle all of that stuff? And actually really leaning and gleaning from your pastors, because I think sometimes we can go, yeah, we got it, it's all good. But actually, like, just gleaning from them and just coming to a vulnerability kind of state where you're really just like, hey, how can we grow? Give us, you know, give us criticism if it needs to happen. Give us, you know, ways that we can move forward, because you want to always, I guess, come to a place where you are moving forward and you are growing in your spiritual gifts and you are positioning yourself in a place where you are moving forward in ministry. And it's not just kind of like we're just doing it for now, but, you know, where do you see us in 10 years? Where do you see us in 5 years? And really putting that on them, I guess, to kind of speak into your world and say, this is what we see in you, but this is where, you know, we want you to be, but you're not quite there. So how can we encourage you to get there? And then also obviously talking about youth and your young people and how they're going, and just getting some really cool insight as to how you can help them along the journey too.
So. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we do love it. We love having those times with Craig and Nadia. And I think it's once again where it comes down to the hustle. And what we do is we actually will record any messages that we speak at youth, and we'll send them to them, and we'll say, next time we catch up, can you give us some feedback? And inviting that feedback in, number one, it's good because you want to sharpen your craft. But number two, it actually helps them to have an insight into what your youth ministry is being talked about at your youth ministry, helps them to invest even greater in prayer, even greater in their mindset towards it. But you might say, oh, we can't record. We'll get an iPhone on your pulpit and record it and send it away, you know. And the other thing we do is we record our emceeing. So if we're doing worship transition, we want to have feedback into that as well. So we'll record it, and as even if it's ugly, and there are some ugly ones, you just got to have to go. Oh. And I just got recently told to not make excuses. So you could so easily have a bad MC moment, send it away, and be like, oh, this happened and this happened, and that's why that happened. But I was recently taught, and I've been taking it on, is that, and I wish I knew it when I was younger, is just don't make excuses. If they ask for an explanation, then give it. But otherwise, don't explain yourself. Like, just give it to them and let them feedback. Which leads really well into one that I said. And there's a couple on the same kind of topic, but I wish I knew that when emceeing a youth meeting, I don't have to shout. Oh, right? My number one tip, like, if you're emceeing, and sorry for all the leaders here that maybe aren't involved in this point, but if you're a youth pastor or you're a key leader in this moment, you don't have to shout when you get on stage. You got a microphone for a reason. Youth ministry can be great moments of praise, but it can also be great moments of reflection, great moments of vulnerability that young people can have in a silent moment. Yeah. Read the room. Yeah. I just always have this thing in my mind when I'm emceeing, read the room. Like, what is the room feeling like? What is the room doing? Don't go up with a preconceived idea. Yes, be planned and be prepared, but where's the room at? Because if you're talking above the room, everyone's going to completely zone off to where you are. If you're emceeing because you're trying to MC to thousands of people that are shouting with praise, and you've got a room of 50 people who aren't at that level, they will just feel like you're shouting over the top of them, and there'll be no genuine engagement into what you're wanting them to engage in. So read the room. When you get up on stage, does there need to be, is Holy Spirit talking to you about a moment of silence so that Holy Spirit can talk to your young people? Don't feel like you have to get up there and every youth meeting finish with a shout of praise. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I love it. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But you don't have to shout in a youth meeting. The best moments I have is when I just say keys or track, play, you know. Play it, and come on, young person, where you're at, close your eyes, have a moment between you and God. Get rid of the distractions. Have a moment. And stop. How many young people have a moment of silence in their life to let God speak? So if they don't have it in their everyday life, can we bring it in a moment of worship? Yeah, we can. Can we bring it in that environment? Yeah, we can. Don't be afraid of silence. Good on you, buddy. is that cool? That makes sense. The other one that was kind of on that note, and it was just about speaking, was I wish I knew that my altar calls and my landings of my message were just as important as my message. Yeah. There's a great, great pastor in Melbourne named Corey Turner, and he travels around and he speaks about the power of the Holy Spirit. But he once said this thing in a message that I wrote down and will never forget. And he said, at the moment, there's a generation of young communicators that have 5-star messages and 1-star altar calls. They spend all their time and content on getting 3 points and making this story link to this story and do that. And they come to the altar call and it's like it's over in 2 seconds. It's like, oh, the plane just crashed. It didn't land. It just poof. Ever since that, I'm like, man, I need to spend just as much time on my altar calls, on linking my message that I've just spoken to a personal moment, to a personal activation out of the message as I do on the actual content. So how much time are you spending on how to craft and take your message from great content to heart connection, to heart activation, for them to leave away knowing what's happened? Make sense? Awesome.
Cool. My next one's a bit different. It's I wish I knew that myths about young adult ministry and youth were literally that. They're myths. So they may be birthed out of a culture, but it doesn't mean that culture was healthy or right. And just because we think this is the way that young adults, and I'm going to talk young adults specific, operate, it doesn't mean it's the way they want to or should. I'm going to put it like this. We had a real issue that we identified pretty early on when I came to young adults, which is that our young adults don't praise. Young adults don't jump. They don't move.
They just drink coffee.
And I've probably fed that myth a bit too much. No, they don't praise. So every young adults night, even our planning team was like, oh, guys, like, let's get like light bulbs and candles and let's do some acoustic worship. That's cool. If that's your church culture, it's not our church culture, but it was something that we had brought into that's what young adults do. Young adults don't do pump factor. They don't do exciting. They don't do fun. Young adults like deep and thoughtful and vibes and let's put a whole lot of, and I'm not dissing anyone that does this, by the way. This is our issue because it doesn't line up with our culture. Let's put out a whole lot of like Turkish rugs and and a box drum. Like, you know what I mean? And so we'd come to these young adult nights, like these, we'd come to like our retreat, we'd go away and we'd try and do this praise set, and young adults that come worship, oh my gosh, incredible. They're loving it. Like, they pack out the altar. Praise, no one's out of their seat. And that had a massive effect on, say, the new person coming in. Who you've got a band and a team that's going 100%, but no one's buying in. Yeah. So the new person doesn't buy in either. And what I found is it was a lot often the people that were maybe a bit more mature in their faith, been around a while, and there's this perception of like, well, now I've been around a while, I need something deeper. And acoustic or reflective or worship is deeper than praise. It's not. And so, we had to go straight on for about 3 years, I reckon. Every young adult thing was like praise was our focus, to the point that we didn't do, you know, 1 praise, 3 worship. We did 2 or 3 praise, maybe a worship tag. Do you know what I mean? And really, every young adult night, every young adult event, for a season there, every young adult leader on a Sunday night had no excuse. If you are a young adult leader, you will be up front on the altar, like from the opening video, and you will be jumping. If you're not, I don't think young adults is the right place for you to serve. Like, it was that straight up for a season. And the point was, is like we create these myths around ministry in youth and young adults of the way it's meant to go or what they want or what they need. But the point is, they come into our churches to encounter Jesus and have their worldview shifted. And so if we're just going with what we think their worldview already is, what they already want, I'm not gonna do it. And we always looked at it like this. Why are clubs packed out? They're not playing acoustic music. It's not vibey. Do you know what I mean? There's a setting for that. And, you know, there are environments for that. But there's a reason that people go out. There's a reason why people go to concert. There's a reason why people go to, in Auckland, go to, Bar 101 or whatever it is, or Margie's back in the day. Yo. It was awesome. Sticky floors. I wasn't clubbing. I was loving people. I was red frogging. Oh, that sounds so bad. We run a ministry called Red Frogs, which goes in and like looks after drunk people. Unbelievable. But yeah, so that was probably my big, like, I wish I knew that I didn't have to, because for the first few years, I was like trying to appease what I thought the culture wanted instead of my conviction of where it needed to go. And so that response and messages, And then also just the type of messages. Young adults, like, I found that, you know, they wanted deep theology. I'm like, that's awesome. But you still need Jesus. Like, you still just need the gospel. And what I found is, like, for a while there, we had so many young adults that knew all these out there thoughts and knew all these great, like, how to live your life better, but didn't know, like, the basics of Jesus. Didn't just know this, like, simplicity of what grace was. And so not buying into myths, because that's what all your young adults are saying. I don't listen to what, you know, the crowd wants. I have a team that speaks into it from a heart of what do we believe God wants to do? What do we believe that our culture is? And yeah, there's a whole lot of myths out there in youth. And I'm sure you guys speak to some in youth ministry, but young adult ministry that is a trap because we fall into it. And our mature Christians who have been there forever love it, but we're not getting new people through the doors. And we're not changing anything that then builds our churches. It just builds our vibey nights. So,
Actually, just want to go back to something you touched on. Well, just around the excuses. Yeah, I love that. I'm gonna assume, because this is not the senior pastor's masterclass, that we all report to somebody, you know? And part of, I guess, even within our team, we have to send debrief texts. I don't know if anybody else does this, obviously, you know, to whoever your upline is, just saying, hey, this is how the night went, you know, this worked, this didn't work, all that sort of stuff. I was a rookie, to be honest, when I started doing them, because I genuinely thought that I had to put all the good stuff in, and then, as Will was saying, try and make the excuses for all the stuff that didn't quite go well. So it ended up being this long novel about, like, trying to paint the perfect picture so that it's taking responsibility enough, but they're not putting that much doubt that we did a bad job.
Classic text, right?
Yeah.
Numbers were a little low tonight.
Yes.
There was a school event on.
Oh,
there was a
so
concert
good.
Down the road.
Exactly
there
that.
Was, oh, one of our buses just
didn't
left
do, yeah.
a little early.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Yeah. So,
but it was a great night.
But it was a great night, or people got saved.
Some real
classic,
wins.
Okay, some real wins. Or yeah, we'll do better next week, I guess. So I guess this is what I'm learning on the journey with that, and I don't think I'm there yet, because some nights you're just like, man, I need something good to send. is that I think. One thing we all need to, and I think I need to get better at, is the where are we actually going, and what's the solution? I think the thing that I love about my team when they feedback stuff to me is that I just don't want a text message that has problems and feel good stuff, but has no, this is the 2 points or 3 points of follow-up that actually are gonna make next week better, or actually, you know? I think that's how we bring confidence, the action points. And so now I'm learning is that I can actually own the stuff that didn't go well, because I know that I'm gonna do A, B, and C to ensure that it doesn't happen again. And you watch the confidence that breeds in your upline, in who you are. I think we start to get more responsibility when we start to be like, you know what, I saw this. And I'm telling you it, not so that it can become a weight on your plate, but just to inform you, I'm actually going to do this, this, and that to make sure it doesn't happen. And then you actually stop bleeding out of insecurity. Because it doesn't become about you and maybe how not good you are, because you want to show them that you're this. Actually, talking about your weak points, but actually bringing action points to it, actually shows you've got a great maturity. And I think I think Rich talked about this word about the promotable person, I think in one of the sessions. And actually it shows that you're somebody who can carry more and have extra to it. I don't know about you, but you don't, and I know we're supposed to trust all our leaders, but I don't trust the leader who doesn't give me the full picture. Because I know. And the thing about our uplines is most of them have been in it. They know what's actually happened. Do you know what I think? They're going to find out. So sometimes where like a young person doesn't like get picked up, or something goes down, or the bus, you know, something goes down, you're like, you know what, the best thing to do right now is to kind of just cover it up. You know what? Always expose up. Always expose up. Even though it feels like it's going to be the worst thing in the world, or you're going to be sitting in their office and you have to like always expose up, because what that does, it actually is a teaching opportunity for me. So that's what I've had to learn. It's like, man, I want to make an excuse right now. I want to tell you why it didn't work. But the best thing I can do is actually just be honest and say, hey, I'm owning this. We could have done better. But you know what? In foresight, this is what I could have done. And actually, this is how I'm going to action it from this point. And then you know what? It's up to them what they send back to you and where you go through from there. So, yeah.
Especially on that. One of the areas when we're talking about disappointment that I think we all sometimes feel, if we're real, but you know, we don't say, is like sometimes our disappointment isn't with our leaders. Sometimes that we lead. Sometimes our disappointment isn't with a program or a young person. Sometimes our disappointment is with our uplines. Like it's like, oh, they didn't back my idea. Like they're not listening. I'm meant to be the expert in this area in church, and they're not backing my idea. Or you feel like they didn't come through for you. Or you feel like they're not giving you what you need. And that's actually a super massive thing for us to be conscious of, because if you let that fester. Like it will ruin you, and it will ruin not just you, but it will that will fester into your leaders, and it will fester into. So there is always open. Our church is awesome at open discussion. Like we'll constantly, even if an idea gets shut down, we can always bring it back up as long as we're always willing to have it shut back down if it's not the season. But one thing that Pastor Paul says, which I love, he's like, I am only accountable. And he was talking about when he was under his senior pastor before starting Life, and he's saying there were times where I wouldn't have done it my way. I would have done it differently. And I think we all would have those situations. It's like, I am only accountable to God. I'm not accountable to God for my senior pastor's vision. Yeah. I'm accountable to God to how well I serve my senior pastor in his vision. And sometimes we think our youth and young adult ministries are ours, and like we've graciously attached them to our pastor's church. And then it's like, well, you're not, this relationship's no longer working out. It's not, it's their youth ministry. It's their young adult ministry. Ultimately, it's God's. And we're not accountable for the decisions that our uplines make that may change things. We're accountable for how well we steward the decision that's made. And I just love that, because that often we think, well, it's my responsibility to get this thing to grow. Yes, it is. But you're not responsible for God for the 160 young people that no longer came because of the health and safety decision. TC's accountable to God to how well he served with that decision. And I just think that's a massive thing. I got one more, and then I'm keen to go to some Q&A. But my last one is, I'm sorry, guys. All right. I wish I knew that other people had the same thoughts as me. Like, seriously, I wish that there were people in this room. Like, I wish I'd known when I was sitting in these settings that the person next to me or the person with the young adult ministry three times my size had the same fears, had the same doubts, had the same issues, had the same leaders running amok as I do. And I think this comes back to what we were talking about earlier with perspective, is like, we'll put up the best photos. We'll put up the Instagram photo from the back left angle, maybe a little high if we can, because it makes the room look like it's pumping. We'll put it up when like the lights are good and the flag's waving just at the right point, the tribe flag. Do you know what I mean? And what that's awesome, because what it does is it celebrates wins and it builds expectation and faith. But what it can sometimes do to our peers in this room, and this room is peers, whether you're a leader or a youth pastor, we're all peers, we're in this together, is sometimes it can breed like a sense of, oh man, we're not there. I post photos like we're there, but we're not there. What you don't realize is that person's posted the photo being like, oh, we're not actually here. But no one knows that. And one of the best things that I did is vulnerability breeds vulnerability. And is sitting down with people, and every time someone comes and wants to talk about, you know, say what's happening at Life or what we're doing, I always want to make a point of telling them what's not. Like I always, because relationship is not a one-way thing. It's not you coming to say, I'm just going to use me in this example. It's not you coming to me asking what we do and me telling you. That's instruction. Relationship is you coming, asking me questions, and then me dialoguing back and asking you questions. And you very quickly find that the leadership issues you have in your environment translate across to our environment, because people are people. And if there's one thing I can encourage you to do, whether you're a youth leader or a youth pastor, is like get with someone and just be the person to be vulnerable first. When you're vulnerable, it breeds vulnerability in someone else. And we so need those relationships. And I wish I knew that there's other people that, man, don't know what the heck they're doing. And every time they get a win, sometimes it's just like, oh, thank God that worked. Like, but when they get a loss, it's like sometimes we're so quick to cover it up to each other. When actually, the person, when I get a loss, one of the first people I go to is TC. Yeah. It's Harry Little from Hillsong, who was here last year, one of the first people I've called when I'm just not in a good space. Yeah. because they're the people I want on my team because they get it. And so that's my last one. I wish I knew I could be vulnerable. It's awesome. Are we going to open up? We've got 10 minutes. I'm keen to open up for Q&A. Anything you guys want to ask, talk about? We're pretty vulnerable, right? Brilliant. Anything at all?
Just even as well, we're just thinking Hannah and I doing youth ministry together. There's probably some couples out there as well. I know that obviously you guys do as well, but we're up here. So if you want to ask any questions about how that works, dynamic, because it's changed over years for us as well, who's leading what and all that kind of thing, feel free. Totally open.
Before I ask a question, I just want to say thank you so much to you guys for just, like, this is our second year at this conference, and you guys, like, really do just practice what you're saying. Just that vulnerability and that honesty has been so helpful for us because we're still, you know, walking the journey of youth ministry. So I just think, I'm sure lots of people think it too, but just thank you so much for just bringing such a great truth. You guys are awesome. I've got like 1,000 questions, but I'm going to try and ask what I think would be the most helpful question. It's actually a similar question to what I asked Rich yesterday about small groups. I know I think one of you guys said yesterday, people over programs. And that's really the journey that we're walking at the moment, is just trying to inspire our team to just be all about, you know, building strong relationships with students at youth and raising them up to be the next leaders. And I just wanted to just really hear how you guys do that in your different settings, different campuses, different in Melbourne, in New Zealand. Like, is there like a language that you share with empowering your youth leaders to really reach out and connect with students?
Hey, was it? Good question. I mean, we like, obviously we totally value the sense of having young people come on a Friday night and experience God and all that kind of stuff. But we are very intentional about making sure that we contact during the week. I know like probably a lot of youth ministries do this, but we're very intentional about getting phone numbers, all that kind of stuff, connecting on Facebook, that kind of thing, but making sure that we're connecting during the week and being really intentional with that. We don't do small groups during the week. We do small groups, or connect groups we call them, on a Friday night. And basically what we do in Melbourne is we encourage our leaders to we have at the end of the message, and so we encourage our leaders to, we don't necessarily give them like a connect group study or anything, but they listen to the message, they kind of, I guess, ask God, you know, what is it that you want me to speak to my young people? What is it that I can bring? What is it that I'm dealing with personally in my own life that relates to what that person's talking about? Yeah, we basically encourage them to find their own notes and find their own points that they can bring to their connect group, and then ask and create a discussion around that specific thing. So for us, like, our connect groups aren't necessarily spoon-fed. We don't give them a study on a Friday night and say, this is what you have to do, or these are the questions that you have to get through. But we really encourage our leaders to be intentional, making sure that they're listening to the message and then taking what they feel like God is telling them to talk to the young people about, and they know best where the young people are at as well. And we obviously, as youth pastors, we know that too, but they know certain situations and certain circumstances that young people are going through, and they can have that opportunity to be vulnerable and actually, I guess, bring a whole lot of encouragement to specific seasons and even different age groups. Like, different age groups are so different. I think about a 13-year-old girl and an 18-year-old girl, they're like completely different and going through different seasons. So it's cool for like our leaders to really, I guess, identify that season and then bring encouragement to whatever it is that they're going through in their age group specifically. Is that?
Yeah, that was good. I think to answer your question, like, specifically about what you could do, because Hannah and I were talking last night about one of the things we wish you knew, is how to teach young leaders to value people over program. Man, that's hard. Because the conversation we had was people that come out of school straight into youth leading, and what they love is the lights, they love the party, they love the big event, they love the tribal wars. When it comes to the value of discipling young people, unless they've been shown that through growing up through your youth ministry, it's not something they value. So how do you do it? And for me, something that I have to keep coming back to, and I love, someone said it yesterday, about a CEO has to say something, what was it, 7 times for someone to take it seriously. If you want to teach your leaders to value people over program, be consistent with getting them to learn the parable of the talents. Yeah. Talk about the parable of the talents every week if you have to. And the one thing we always say to our team is, are you being faithful with what you've been given? As a youth ministry, we can believe and we can pray for young people to flood in the doors, but we have to be okay with doing what we can do with the ones that God's entrusted to us. So the people that God's entrusted to us, are we growing them? Are we seeing fruit in their life? Are you seeing them take steps forward in their relationship with God? As a leader, you can challenge your leaders and say, when was the last time a new young person turned up to youth and you got their number through conversation rather than off the connection card they filled out at the front door? That is a very good test of a good youth leader. Did they connect with that young person and somehow make a relationship that was deep enough for them to get contact details to be able to talk to them and invite them back without you as the leader having to go, oh, we had a new young person, here's their connect details, right? Yeah. Like, when was the last time, and I'll challenge you as a youth pastor, you were the one that did that. When was the last time you got out of the auditorium before youth, came out into the foyer, shook someone's hand, had a good convo, played some basketball, and connected with them and made them the one that you decided, I'm going to get them back to youth next week? Because unless your leaders see you do it, there's no way they're going to do it. And just because we're the ones running a service does not mean we can't step down, connect with a young person, because who knows, when they see us on stage, 5 minutes later, all of a sudden there's a great rapport and a great lean into what we're about to say. Yeah. Any other questions?
Obviously with youth ministry, there's so much that is drawn out of you, you know, for the youth and for the kids and whatnot. And I suppose I've seen in the past, you know, youth leaders get burnt out. And I suppose one of the questions I have is, what are some boundaries that you have or key things that you do to keep yourself fresh and I suppose on fire? Because I mean, not every time you know, you're not going to turn up every night and hit that high note. But there's obviously, you know, keys that you guys might have, especially, you know, the 8-10 years that you've been doing it, that is something that works well for you to keep that fresh note, and even within your marriage too, and having a family, you know, work relationship and marriage relationship are often very two different things, and you might be great at one of them and not so great at the other, you know. So even within that too, what are some stuff that you guys do to you know, to keep your marriage fresh, you know, to and then be able to relay that to your ministry and youth as well?
I'm only 5 months married, so it's still fresh, but these guys can talk to that bit. I can talk to, I guess, probably the how do you keep yourself fresh personally, and then team. They're two different things, because team, your responsibility is to help them with boundaries, but for you, like, it's all on you for your own care. So first one for you. My big one, and it was one of my wish I'd known, is like, I wish I'd known to be comfortable with like who I am. So knowing like what freshman I'm like full introvert, extreme to the point that like I love one-on-ones. I love two or three, but get me in a table of 10. If we're sitting around here and it was a discussion, you probably wouldn't hear a peep. Like, that terrifies me, that many people. In that setting, like, seriously, like, that's so for me, I know that what refreshes me is time alone. Like, dead zone, like, not even with my wife. Like, I need a day a week, I need almost a day a week if I want to stay on top of my game, where it's I just do nothing, no one else, which is extreme when you're a pastor. But so for me, it's my responsibility to do that. And for ages, I would say yes to everything and feel bad for not being at every 21st or every, even sometimes weddings. Like, whereas now I'm actually super comfortable saying no to things, really comfortable with protecting. Like, I got into a stage 2 years ago where I just protected my Saturdays. So between the hours of when I woke up till 6 p.m., I didn't do a coffee with a youth leader or a young adult leader unless they were a really good friend that I wanted to. So people would be like, oh, come watch my soccer game, or come. And sometimes I would occasionally go do coffees with people, things. But for the most part, I had to get really comfortable with disappointing people so that I could be there for them, because that's what I needed. So what is it for you that fills you up? So that's my emotional tank. My spiritual tank, I get boosted on doing one-on-ones. So if all I'm doing is meetings and planning, it's going to wear me down. A one-on-one with someone who's growing and I can help grow, that fills me up on my spiritual tank massively because I'm in my purpose, I'm in my call. And then obviously God time. And then obviously just physically, like actually pacing yourselves. Like you don't, it's funny, like people don't start sinning because you don't catch up with them. Do you know what I mean? Like people fall off the bandwagon because they fall off the bandwagon. They make choices. And so there will always be more people who need your time than you can handle. For your team, the way we do it with young adults is like I'm pretty loose and fast. It's pretty individual. But my thing is if you need a break, tell me. Like it's sweet. Like if you need a break, cool, tap out. I don't think I've ever said to someone, hey, no, like we really need you to stick around. Like we'll make it work if it's for the right reasons. I'll always ask why. I'll always put a time around it. The other thing we're trying to do at the moment is like legend leave, which is something that Harry instituted last year, which is like some leaders. We got one girl at the moment, Nat, and she's awesome. She's here serving. She's taking like 6 months off running a Connect group. Still on team, still wears the jersey, still at all the practices in that analogy, but she doesn't have to run a Connect group for a season. Still on team though. The last one I'd say is like know how to preempt transitions. So sometimes people are tired because they need rest. Sometimes people are tired because the season's coming to an end. And what we've started to do recently, and we did this real successfully with me and B-Rad right before he stepped out of youth, so we transitioned a bunch of youth leaders who were guns around the 25 age. We transitioned them before they were ready to be transitioned out of youth and transitioned them into young adult leadership. We gave them 3 months off, and then we said, now you're in as a young adult leader. So before they got to the point that they were out, we transitioned them into their next season, gave them a rest, and they became our best young adult leaders. Whereas often, like we're so, and youth, young adults, we both this, we're so protective of our leaders and our numbers that we don't want to, we want to hang on to them instead of actually see them transition into their next season. So what we see is them burning out. It's not, it's their season's ended. And we're trying to keep them in something they shouldn't be in anymore. So recognizing that and helping people transition. You guys want to talk about marriage?
I'm going to talk real quickly. Obviously, yeah, I guess it'll encompass the marriage stuff. To me, I think when it comes to the burnout thing, for me, I'm realizing that it's not so much the work stuff that is going to throw me off my game, but rather the things that I didn't plan for. And we're realizing that on the ministry journey, like, you can be smashing it out, you know, you're doing all the work, and sometimes the workload is massive, but then something happens in your family, then there's a relational thing, then there's, you know, something else that's going on, but you didn't plan for it, and that's the stuff I reckon that does take a massive emotional toll and makes us, because, you know, remember, you know, what we've been hearing from stage, you know, Pastor Paul, like, actually there is an enemy, and he doesn't want to see us become what we're called to become. So what I'm learning is that, so if the enemy's got a plan to try and stop me, then now I've got to get good at finding places to communicate and actually dialogue like with people that are for me, and so that I'm not carrying the weight consistently. And I hate talking feelings, I'll be honest with you. Like my wife, you talk to her, she has a tough time getting stuff out of me. But I've had to learn, if I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, I need to work on my emotional vulnerability, because it's going to be an area where the enemy is going to attack me and stop me from fulfilling what God's called me to do. So what I need to do is I have a monthly catch up with somebody, and they have full access to my life, whether I feel like it or I don't. They have access to me. But also what I need to learn to do is not wait for my monthly catch-up. So if there's something going on, because I'm a person, I don't like talking about stuff, I just have to flick them a text and say, hey, not doing good, don't call me. But at least, you know what, I've chucked it out there. It's kind of like, it's out there. At least I've started the process. And then, you know, I work on myself and I sort it out, but I get, so I'm just learning that I need to process regularly the stuff that I didn't prepare for so that I keep running this race. Because we've all made a decision. Come on our deathbed, we're still going to be lifting up the name of Jesus and making sure that we still love him. So what do we need to do? We process the stuff that we didn't see coming and we keep loving him. So
awesome. Hey, we're going to finish up because we are well and truly over time. We next session, we have Pastor Rich Wilkinson back in here, which is going to be amazing. Yesterday, this thing did like pack out. So get in here early, make sure you can get a spot. Then after that, because we actually have a lot of time in the next session, if we get time, we'll actually reopen up this Q&A with us three. I think TC's speaking next door, but with us three, and if there is anything else left over, because I realize that went really quick, that you want to talk about. But Pastor Rich will probably do Q&A as well, so have that ready. Right now we have morning, afternoon.
We have afternoon tea happening, same place, the local. So for half an hour, be back here a few minutes early. We're starting back here at 3 p.m. Awesome. My arms are open. My